Let's go to the Psalms again tonight. We're going to go to the third Psalm tonight. And I had to ask my wife what Psalm I finished on, because when I started reading this, I thought, I already did this one. Then I realized later it was part of my sermon last week. Certain things kind of stick in your head, you know, and you go, man, I know I read that. It looks really familiar. But we didn't. Last time we did Psalm 2. And this is a really short psalm, but man, there's some really good things in here. So I'm not sure we'll be a long time on it, but we're certainly going to enjoy some things. Psalm 3, I'll read the whole psalm. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art the shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And so this short little psalm, it has, by the way, the word Selah three times in it. I thought that was kind of interesting. But he starts out, as a lot of times the psalmist does, with a little bit of a kind of feeling of despair. And you see that in the first two verses. He says, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And you know, while it was probably literally true for David, I know that, you know, sometimes this is the way it feels in our lives. Sometimes it just feels like everything's kind of coming against us. And, you know, kind of an overwhelming feeling of all the things that seem to be coming against us. And so he has that same feeling. And I appreciate that David, he's very honest about his what is going on with him and what he feels. And so he just says it. And more importantly, he just says it to the Lord. And I think this is a very important thing to consider. As we read this, like I said, we can identify with him. But notice that he starts this out crying out to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes maybe we get the impression or the thought that well, we shouldn't just bother the Lord for all these things. You know, quit bothering the Lord so much. Or maybe it's that thought of, well, don't bother the Lord for all these little things that keep happening. But I noticed that the psalmist, David, you know, he goes to the Lord and he just lays it out. He just says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And he knows, you know, this is what he feels is happening to him. And then he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So he realizes that many think that he has no possible rescue, if you will, but he knows where to go. And certainly he goes to the right place. And then we come to Selah. And I think that's important just to kind of stop and think about what he's saying here. This reminded me, by the way, when I read this, there is no help for him in God. I'm going to read Matthew 27. Is that the one I wanted? That's not the one I wanted. Getting ahead of myself a little bit. Got to be careful. Matthew 27. I was going to read a different one. 42. Now, Jesus is on the cross here, so you know this passage, but actually, I should read verse 41, I guess. Matthew 27 and verse 41 says, likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So you see how they mock him here, essentially saying, there is no help for him in God. Kind of same thing there, isn't it? And so our Lord understands as well, by the way, these things that come our way. That was kind of the point of going there, was to recognize the Lord understands when we are overwhelmed, and when it feels like everything is against us, and nobody thinks that we have any help at all, even in God, and yet this is exactly where David goes. And then we come to that word Selah, and you know, think on this. Just take time to meditate a little bit. I thought that was weird the first time I read it. I thought it was kind of a strange place to have the word Selah. But then I realized, you know, sometimes we kind of read these, parts quickly so we can get to the other part. And so maybe there's a need for us to kind of be slowed down a little bit and think about, do we ever come to this place? Have we been in a situation that, like this? And did we cry out to the Lord? Or did we try to just take it ourselves and do it ourselves? David cries out to the Lord, and he knows where to go. And then verse 3, and this is such a key thing, because here's David. He's still speaking to the Lord, of course. And so he lays out, this is how I feel. And this is, I want to kind of make this distinction really clear tonight. Two first verses, he says, this is how I feel. And then verse 3, and he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. This is David's faith. See, there are two things. One is how we feel. The other is our faith, what we trust in and believe. He says, thou, O Lord, but thou, O Lord. So regardless of those things up there above, in spite of those things, you might say, he knows where he's going. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. And I like this thought, because lifter up of mine head, that's a, again, to me, it's a thought about whenever you're depressed, you might say he's hanging his head, right? We kind of say that, hanging the head when you're kind of down. And you see that actually physically in people sometimes. They'll be down and you see them, they kind of hang their head a little bit. And he says, the Lord is the one that lifts up my head. He lifts it back up. And, you know, that's because we know where we go and who we trust in. Thou art a shield for me. The word there actually really says, you are a shield all around me, or all about me. And I like that thought, that God is a shield, and he's a shield all around us. We do feel sometimes the overwhelmingness of the things that are happening to us. We feel the heaviness of those things. I think we have to be careful about thinking that because we're Christians, somehow we don't have feelings anymore. We do have feelings, and we feel these things, and God knows that. But the key, again, is when we have those feelings, to know where our faith goes. And so he goes straight to the Lord. He says, you are a shield around about me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. And this is something that David had learned through his life as he went along. This psalm, they say it was written when he fled from Absalom, his son. And so by that time, David was pretty advanced in age, obviously. He had been through a lot, because even as a young person, when he took care of those sheep out there, you know, he came to a place where he had to deal with the bear and the lion and so on. And he always knew where his strength lied and where his help was. And of course, Goliath and many other things in between. So David had experienced the salvation of the Lord. He had experienced God being his shield. And he had experienced how that God lifted his head when he was down. Verse 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of my holy hill. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Sometimes we really just need to cry out. And, you know, the Lord hears. And I think it's just interesting to consider. There's a word Selah, by the way, at the end of this one again, for us to stop and to really think about this. To consider, do we truly trust that we can take everything to the Lord? Do we truly trust and believe that we can lay everything at his feet? And again, sometimes, like I said, sometimes I think we get that feeling of, well, this isn't really, this isn't something I should bother the Lord with. You know, this is my own little problem. I'll deal with it. And so we choose not to, but it's a good thing for us to consider and to think about. We should be crying out to the Lord for all things. He understands and he cares about everything in our lives. And importantly here, he heard me. He heard me. There's so much in the Psalms about this, that the Lord hears us. And certainly, the psalmist writes a lot. There's many psalms I didn't write down because I decided, you know, we could just go through psalm after psalm after psalm. But certainly the psalmist had this understanding. And again, that comes from the experience of having cried out to the Lord and knowing that he hears. And so you cry again because you know. And we, as God's children, we have this experience as well. Certainly we've cried out to the Lord and known that he has heard us. And even as we study God's word, we realize how that's not just a kind of a once in a while thing, because all throughout the word we find God hearing and listening and understanding his people as they are in trouble. Over and over again through the history of Israel, we see that they cried to the Lord and he heard their cry. And again, like I said, through the Psalms, you'll find it just continuously through the Psalms. The psalmist certainly understood that God hears when we cry to him. And we need to know that he hears. Now, sometimes the enemy will have us to think that God hasn't heard us. You know, he'll get that thinking going in our mind. Well, I prayed about that and the Lord hasn't answered, or I don't see anything happening. Well, we know that the Lord hears us, not because we see something happening, but because we know that he hears us. He's told us that. Our faith believes that. Sometimes the answers take a while. Sometimes the answer is no. That happens sometimes. Sometimes the answer is be patient. Sometimes, you know, Paul, he said, I cried to the Lord three times, and he said, the answer he got was, my grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes that's the answer. But the Lord heard, and the Lord understood. And you don't see Paul going, oh, woe is me, the Lord doesn't hear me. No, he knew the Lord heard him. And so we need to, by faith, know that God hears us when we cry. And just because the answer isn't coming either right away or isn't coming the way we wanted it to, is not an indication that God is not hearing us. It's usually an indication that we're not paying attention, but oftentimes. Verse 5 of our chapter, he says, I laid me down and slept. And I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. He says, I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I love this verse because it is a verse about God's peace and strength. In the very next chapter, by the way, which we'll get to obviously next time, Lord willing, but I just want to read the last verse of that next chapter just because I think it just goes right here. He says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Isn't it great to know that we have a God that we can trust in? You know, the thought here isn't just about sleeping. It's about the kind of peace of mind and of heart that it takes to be able to just lay down and go to sleep, to be able to just do that peacefully. Because, again, remember what he started out with. Everybody's out to get him. Things are very difficult. And yet, see, in the midst of that, I was reminded, our Lord, you know, on the sea in that boat, he was sleeping when the waves were tossing. And the disciples, you know, they were pretty upset about that because all they were seeing were the waves. And it was a lesson they needed to learn about trusting in the one who the waves obey. But it takes a peace and a trust, if you will, to be able to just lay down and sleep. And we trust our Lord. And it says, I awaked, he says, for the Lord sustained me. He held me up. He was underneath, if you will. That's kind of the thought is about having something underneath holding something up. The Lord sustained me. You know, when we lay ourselves down to sleep in the natural, literally, we needn't do that with fear ever because the Lord sustains us. But in a general sense in our lives, we should have a peace that passes all understanding, as Paul says there in Philippians, that passes all understanding because we trust in the Lord to sustain us, to be our help, to be our strength. And so we can lay down and sleep in peace because we know who we trust in. Verse 6, he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. This instantly reminded me of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. You don't have to turn if you don't want to, but decide where I want to start here. I think I'll start in the 15th verse. 6th chapter and verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And this is Elisha here, by the way. And so they're in this place, and his servant gets up and looks out, and they're completely surrounded by the host of horses and chariots. It looks impossible. This is why he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And this is what the answer he gets in verse 16. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Isn't that interesting? Elisha knows something that the young man doesn't know yet. In verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, I love this passage because sometimes we're like the young man, the young servant. We look and we see what our eyes can see, I guess, if you will, the thing that is surrounding us. But when Elisha prayed for him, he was given a revelation. It's not that the chariots of the Lord appeared after Elisha prayed. They were already there. But the young man needed his eyes to be open. You know, sometimes we need our eyes to be open. And God, we had this thought this morning, but God wants to reveal himself to us. And it's in exactly these situations we come to, and the Lord wants to open our eyes, if you will, to see and to recognize that he is with us. And so David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. See, he knows where he knows his shield, and he knows his refuge, and all those things that David speaks about his Lord. He knows where his strong tower is and his high tower. So he says, I will not be afraid. Well, we needn't be afraid when the enemy comes against us, even if it appears overwhelming, because we have a refuge that we can go to. We know who is on our side. And verse 7, he says, arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. And again, I think that if you consider David was a warrior. He had many great feats of battle that he had done, and many defeats where he had defeated many. And so you can think of David, he's this great warrior, but David knows who fights for him. He could have tried to trust in his own ability and his own strength, but he says, arise, O Lord, and save me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. We need to quit trying to fight in our own abilities. We need to quit trying to think that some battles are okay for us to fight on our own. You know, I really do think that sometimes we just think, well, the little ones, you know, I can do those on my own, and we'll just take the big ones to the Lord. And you know, sometimes you get that thought from people. You know, well, when it's too overwhelming, then you go to the Lord with it. Well, you know, David always goes to the Lord. Even when he fought Goliath, and he had already fought the bear and the lion then, but when he fought Goliath, he didn't fight Goliath in his own strength. He says, I come to you in the name of the God of hosts, the Lord of hosts. He knew where his strength was. He knew how that battle was going to be fought. He says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. See, a recognition here that God has been his saving right hand, if you will. God has been the one who has given him the victories. And we've talked about that before as we went through Joshua, recognizing and understanding that God is the one that gives the victories. And this is exactly what David is recognizing here. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And then he says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. This is a very important thing for us to understand. Now, there's two things out of this verse I want to bring out. One is salvation in the sense of the Lord, you know, being on our side and helping us. That's all of him. I also want you to notice that salvation, our salvation, it belongs to the Lord. It was his doing. All that was accomplished for us to have salvation was all God's doing. And that belongs to him. Sometimes we say, my salvation. And I think it's okay for us to think, you know, I'm saved and I appreciate that and I'm thankful for that. But that really belongs to the Lord. It's his, well, as we heard this morning, it's his gift. It's what he did. But also in our battles, anytime that we come to the battle and there is victory, that salvation is also of the Lord. It's his doing. It's his work. And it belongs to him. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. So recognizing that we're not the originators of salvation, and we're not the originators of victory in our lives, but rather God is. And then he finishes this, thy blessing is upon thy people. And this is another place where there is a selah. Thy blessing is upon thy people. This, I thought, went very well with how church opened this morning, thinking about God's gift and God's gifts. His blessing certainly is upon us. And in more than one way, as you think about this whole psalm and what he's talking about here, this whole thought to know that God is on our side and to know that our faith and our trust is in him for a reason, that's a blessing to us. To be able to lay down and sleep, to be have that kind of peace, that's a blessing that comes from our God. And so you can think of many, many different things to consider God's blessings upon his people. But God is continually showering us with blessings in many, many ways. And this is just one thought out of this chapter about some of those blessings that he gives to us. I think as God's people, we are exceedingly blessed that we can go to him and trust in him and rest in him, to truly have that kind of peace that he gives no matter what the situation is. That is a great blessing for us. And of course, the word Selah, as you know, it just, you know, again, I think I love that word in this chapter, because there's several things in this chapter. One is our feelings at the beginning. We can think about that. But then knowing who we go to and recognizing the Lord as our shield and thinking about that. And then, again, also recognizing that God is the one that gives us the victory and the peace as we go through these things. And so the enemy would like to have these trials, these difficulties, adversities in our life. He would like them to overwhelm us and to overtake us. But we can trust our God to bring us out. And I heard a man, he had a message, and the title of his message was Advantage Through Adversity. And I just thought that was kind of an interesting title. Reminded me of something that Jack would say, because he had those, I don't know what you call that when you use the words with the same, start with the same letter. There's a name for that in it's not synonym. There's a name for that in the English language, but anyway, Jack did that so good, because he would come up with these little things where the words started with the same letter, and I thought that was very good. Advantage through adversity. That's not what you would think about when you think about adversity. What kind of advantage is that? Well, it's an advantage because it gives us an opportunity to really put our trust in our God and to have another revelation of him, as we had this morning, for him to reveal himself to us in a way that he maybe hasn't already, and that is an advantage for us. And so we are indeed a blessed people. So these are some things that we can think about. And that's all I had tonight. Yes, go ahead. That's right. That's true. Verse.
The first verse in this chapter, isn't that representing David in the first verse, the type of the Messiah being rejected by his own people?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, and that's why when you come to verse 2, that seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? You go back, and that's why I read out of Matthew, because seems pretty obviously a reference to our Lord on the cross there as they were rising against him. Yeah, they said about him, there's no help. Well, little did they know. Little did they know.
David has to be an important person even in the New Testament. Is the first and last name mentioned in the New Testament?
Is it the last name? Probably is the first. Is it the last? I don't remember if it's the last. Yeah. But he is important because he's a type of Christ in the Old Testament. So in many ways, he pictures that for us.
David Ben Jesse. Hmm. Jesse was his father.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they kind of did the names, isn't it? But yes, he is, in many ways, he's a type of Christ for us.